Okay, let's do a call to order. Welcome to the meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. Sandy, are you here?
I am here.
Would you please call the roll?
Of course. Trustee Rita Affis?
I'm here.
Trustee John Butler?
I'm here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Here.
Trustee Bob Pritchard? We'll come back. Trustee Aiden Shields?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Here.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Here.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Once again, Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Well, I would suggest, Montel, when we know that Bob has joined the meeting, that you just make a note to the record that Bob has joined the meeting.
Very good. I will do that. Okay. Ms. Perry, are you here?
Yes, sir. How are you, Mr.
Chair? Would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Yes, Mr. Chair, you do have a quorum present and appropriate notification has been provided under the Illinois Open Meetings Act, and you are prepared to go.
Thank you very much. Board members, before you, you should have a copy of our agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
Wasowitz, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Sandy, this is going to require a roll call vote.
Yes. Trustee Rita Affis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes, yes. Let's move to item number four, approval of our minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of May 14th, 2020?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
And again, I believe I do need another roll call.
That's correct.
Trustee Rita Affis?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes, yes. And as Dennis had mentioned earlier, I think we just need the record to reflect that we do have Trustee Pritchard with us as well, and as indicated by his vote. All right, this is an opportunity for me to share some of my comments. First, I'd like to say how pleased I am to be serving as the chair for FACPO during this time, and this is a rather tenuous time. These are unprecedented times. I commend the leadership of the university for their commitment to the health and safety of our students, faculty, and staff, and making decisions with this commitment in mind. As a father of three daughters who are returning to school, I know that these are not easy times to navigate. Throughout the day, in the early committee meetings, we learned that despite the ardent efforts of university leadership, there's still much uncertainty in the year ahead as we respond to the global pandemic. Protecting the Pack, released in the summer, outlines the values that guide NIU's decision-making process. We have had the opportunity to hear from Executive Vice President and Provost Ingram, who provided an overview of NIU's approach focused on teaching, learning, and scholarship plans going into the fall semester. Today's recommendations to support classroom technology will meet the needs of the goals. Received an update on the lack of progress towards another federal stimulation package, as well as continued uncertainty about the state's budget and the resulting pressure and the uncertainty will cause the NIU already tenuous budget. The need for NIU to move forward with the planning for the fall while navigating uncertainty with the financial resources cannot be avoided. On the heels of a year that is projected to close with a loss of $35 million, we're facing the possibility of a similar loss this fiscal year. This level of financial distress that the university cannot sustain. Given our uncertainty about both the progression of the pandemic and the federal COVID relief package, we must recognize the potential for further significant impacts on our operation and revenue streams and make appropriate contingency plans. I stand alongside my colleagues on the board and offer my support to university leadership for the thoughtful planning efforts they are leading. We will be making very difficult decisions in the days ahead. Vice President and CFO Chennai will update us later as to the progress on budgeting efforts, as well as the cash position at the close of fiscal year 2020. Before I welcome members of the University Advisory Committee to comment, I want to take some time to recognize and honor Vicki Ripberger. Vicki, a proud Husky, loving mother, and valued friend and colleague, lost her battle to cancer in June. Vicki served as recording secretary for FACPL meetings since November of 2014. She began her employment with NIU in September of 2010. Following a brief departure, Vicki returned to the university in September of 2014 and began working in administration and finance. Not only was Vicki extremely ordered and accurate in her work, she brought a level of efficiency and organization to all she worked with. Vicki, we are better for having known you. May you rest in peace. I appreciate Sandy McCarthy stepping in and assuming the role of recording secretary. Sandy, we welcome you.
Thank you.
At this time, I would like to welcome the University Advisory Committee members present today. Does anyone have any comments for the board? Are any of you here today?
Trustee Gales, I'm going to save my comments for the full board meeting. I have a few more to make.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mr. Perry, with that in mind, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, you have one person registered for public comment, and that would be Mr. Moyer.
Mr. Moyer, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Yeah.
Yes, I can. Please provide us with your comments, and if you could, and you've done so great earlier in the day, limit your comments to 5 minutes. Go ahead. Mr. Moyer?
Yes. This talk is titled The Life and Times of a Black NIU Social Change Leadership Student, Volume 3. My friend, 2008 U.S. Olympian Ben Askren, just released the Askren Mindset Program at benaskren.com. And in one module, Ben Askren discusses the power of innovation in finding and creating solutions to tough challenges. Part of my academic expression includes what I hope to be an innovative method to describe this injustice. I created the Judge Judy game and Social Justice Warriors game. I invite you all to play these games yourself to learn more about this injustice. Again, these games are housed at www.niukaren.com. And the site password that you'll need is KK Museum. Again, the site password is KK Museum. So this is the academic expression of a Dean's List Honors Program senior that is a part of 6 academic honor societies, earning a 4.0 GPA in NIU's social change leadership curriculum. As I mentioned earlier, the worst of the retaliation is yet to come. After telling multiple police agencies that I am a possible active campus shooter, comes back unfounded, obviously, and after filing student conduct reports that were immediately dismissed and labeled, quote, total bullshit and racism, end quote, NIU College of Education instructor Michelle Duffy went to the DeKalb County Court and filed for a 2-year no stalking order of protection against me. Now, when this happened, I was detained on NIU's campus by NIU police so that DeKalb County Sheriff Deputy Sarah Frazier, badge number 26, could come to where we were and serve me with the no stalking order of protection. As a side note, visit www.niukaren.com to view the commendation pages for Deputy Frazier and Officer Bennett. They both exhibited the highest levels of professionalism, and it's really a story of a positive police interaction, which is a very important story today. Again, those commendation pages are up at www.niukaren.com. Now, I was curious about what Michelle Duffy would allege as the basis for her seeking a no-stalking order, and I was ready for anything. I mean, we've already done active campus shooter, my life's in danger, a person on medications is after me. So I know that whatever she puts, it has to be made up because I didn't do anything. So there was absolutely nothing that would have surprised me. I would not have been surprised if she said that I was an alien life form from another planet. I mean, seriously, nothing could have surprised me. But when I read her petition, I was shocked. NIU College of Education instructor Michelle Duffy filed for a 2-year no stalking order of protection on January 7th, 2020 in the DeKalb County Court because according to her petition, quote, he told my dean I'm disrespectful, end quote. And quote, he FOIA'd me, end quote. Activities that each of you know are legally protected because number one, again, there never was any stalking. She testified that I never contacted her after our initial segments. She was trying to get me to do like they told LeBron James when they said, why don't you just shut up and dribble? Board members, I was even threatened about speaking to you. This is a vicious, retaliatory attack against a student speaking up about an injustice. She also wrote in this petition that Sycamore police provided 24-hour surveillance on her home to keep her safe. Now, again, Michelle Duffy is a literacy and education instructor, so she understands words. And what she wrote was just a lie. And Sycamore police officer Wojcik testified to that in the trial. When Duffy wrote President Freeman the letter, she perpetuated that students were scared and the classroom was in a frenzy with students huddling in the corner gripped in fear. But the video I have clearly shows it is all a lie. Her statements are as true as the statement that we will play college football this fall. But I tell you, board, this is what retaliation looks like. On the flip side, this is what accountability looks like. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you for your comments. At this point, I'd like to ask Vice President and CFO Sarah Chinaya to present the university financial update. Sarah?
Thank you, Committee Chair Gales. Good afternoon, committee members. We find ourselves at an unprecedented time, a reference we use and hear so often. Typically, this would be a time that the university would be looking ahead to fiscal 22 and seeking approval for the financial support NIU would request from the state. We have elected to hold discussions in support of fiscal year 22 funding until a later meeting. There is simply too much that is in flux to project numbers with any level of accuracy. Instead, at this time, I will present an update in support of the FY21 preliminary internal budget. On June 18th, the Board of Trustees approved FY21 preliminary internal budget, including $361.4 million in revenue, against $400.3 million in anticipated expenses. This preliminary internal budget uses revenue and cost assumptions based on limited available data as of May 31st, 2020, and assumes a shortfall of approximately $39 million. The preliminary budget was approved with the understanding that in September 2020, a revised fiscal year 21 internal budget will be presented to the board that will reflect more accurate revenue and expense projections based on clarification of fall enrollment, residence hall occupancy, and commitments of additional federal aid to universities. I will not be presenting an updated projection today, as we have heard in the earlier committee meetings, we are still in a fluid and dynamic environment. Rather, we continue to reference and consider the FY21, fiscal year 21 preliminary budget to inform our planning and the execution of our plans, including items previewed earlier today by Executive Vice President and Provost Ingram for fall of 2020. There are four primary items that could have significant upside or downside to NIU's budget. These items include our enrollment for the upcoming academic year, the state's financial position, the availability of a federal relief bill, and the impact of public health guidance on our ability to resume full operations. As we move forward with our budget planning, these efforts include the appropriate contingency planning focused on those factors that NIU can control or influence. Until university leadership returns to the board in September with a revised budget, we have prioritized financial flexibility in short and long-term planning. This includes moving forward those items that are mission critical or time sensitive. Leadership continues to monitor the situation. President Freeman routinely engages her leadership team to discuss current events, available options, and is very clear with our leadership that financial management is a key component of all of our roles. We will return to the board on September 17th to present a fiscal year 21 revised budget that updates, affirms, and solidifies revenue assumptions based on fall enrollment, receipt of state appropriations and additional federal assistance, and anticipated auxiliary revenue associated with housing, dining, sales, and conferences. Northern Illinois University leadership is closely monitoring information provided by the governor and the Illinois Department of Public Health and our local healthcare providers. The health, wellness, and safety of the entire campus community is the priority and at the center of our decision-making. Because this is a dynamic environment, leadership will continue to present quarterly budget updates to the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee of the board during the February and May meetings in calendar year 2021, noting quarterly budget performance, summarizing variances, and providing year-to-date forecasts. I acknowledge and commend the efforts of Cherie Sannon, Andrew Roberts, and their teams for their leadership in supporting this work. The university will resume efforts for future fiscal years, including a revision of the multi-year framework during the mid part of 2021. This information, combined with greater certainty about the post-pandemic fiscal environment, will be critical to reestablishing multi-year university goals. President Freeman is in close communication with Chair Barsima, as I am with FACFO Committee Chair Gales. We understand the seriousness of our financial results and are committed to being thoughtful stewards of this great university as a leadership team. I'm happy to take any questions or comments on the on my remarks or the information on the fiscal 2021 budget to date.
Montel, were you trying to say something? It's you're on mute.
Okay, sorry about that. I think the magic finger touched the button. Vice President Chai, can you continue on with university recommendations?
Sure, happy to. We have one recommendation for today's meeting, agenda item 8A, classroom technology upgrades. Academic Affairs and the Division of Information Technology request permission to purchase classroom technology enhancements to support lecture capture, two-way collaboration, and streaming capabilities across approximately 200 classrooms on campus. As we heard earlier today from Executive Vice President and Provost Ingram during the Protecting the PAC presentation, these upgrades will create a flexible teaching and learning environment that supports both in-person and remote learning capabilities, including live streaming of lectures to remote students. We are asking today for funding in the amount of $600,000. Please note, this is an increase in the amount listed in the materials. We are seeking endorsement of this increased amount to build in financial flexibility should the need arise to purchase more equipment in support of meeting the teaching needs on campus. This additional funding will provide flexibility, both operation and financial, as the year progresses. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval later today at the special meeting on August 20th, 2020.
Sorry to deliver again. Trustee Gales, you're on mute again.
I have no idea how that happens. I'm not touching a darn thing yet. Let me ask, is any of this technology going to be used outside of the campus, or is this strictly on the campus? So will the instructors or professors involved in the program, will they be able to use materials to communicate with the staff or students?
I'm going to ask either Matt Parks, our CIO, or maybe Provost Ingram or a member of her team to comment on how the technology will be used by our faculty.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Trustee Gales. Good question. So a vast majority of the equipment that we're procuring as part of this initiative will go in the classrooms, primarily on campus. Some portion of that technology will also be deployed at our off-campus sites over in Hoffman Estates, Naperville, and Rockford. The technology we're deploying is to be able to extend beyond the boundaries of the classroom to support virtual education for students who obviously aren't able to attend in person through the modalities that Provost Ingram alluded to in her Protect the Path presentation earlier this morning.
Okay. I see I have a question from Trustee Bartholomew.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Just want to go back to the budget discussion that we had, and I just want to say how much we appreciate the work that you and your team are doing. It is, and I sit on other boards of companies as well, and I know how everyone is struggling to try to forecast what the revenue is going to be, during this pandemic. So it's a very challenging time, and I know you've got to create a number of different scenarios that allow for funding options, expense options, and so forth. So I know it's a very challenging task, and just want to thank you and your team for all the work that you're doing, Sarah. On the request here, the action item says $450,000, but did I hear you correct that you're actually asking for $600,000?
Yes, when we put forward the materials last week, $450,000 would make the upgrades that we know about in time to launch classes next week. As we looked at and continued our contingency planning, we thought it would be prudent to build in a bit of flexibility should we need to flex more or need to deploy additional technologies or capabilities. Therefore, we're asking today for an increased amount of funding so that we do have the flexibility to pivot should we need to.
So then my question to General Counsel Perry would be, do we need to have a motion to amend this action item to read 600,000, not 450? Or what's our process here to approve something that is not listed on the action item?
Yeah. When the chair puts the motion to the board to vote, he will announce that the amount is 600, and then we'll make the correction in the written materials, but the motion will be to the board for the 600.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Bartholomew, do you have any other questions?
I am good, Chair. You can move on. It looks like Mr. Pritchard is next.
Trustee Pritchard?
Yes, thank you. Matt, can you give us a little bit more description as to what this extra $150,000 is going to do besides flexibility?
Yeah, so Trustee Pritchard, so primarily it's to augment a significant portion of the equipment that we procured to date to just make sure that we've got hardware in place should the need arise as the semester moves forward to be able to react quickly to rooms that come into scope for the ability to stream and provide two-way collaboration. So we know, as Vice President Shania indicated, we have the primary list of classrooms that we're targeting now and actually in the process of deploying now and have been for a number of weeks. We anticipate that potentially that could evolve some throughout the course of the semester, and we want to make sure that we've got resources available to be able to meet that need.
So I can add a quick comment, Trustee Pritchard. A lot of our classrooms, we installed what we anticipated the faculty to need. So some of the classrooms may have just lecture capture, which means you can just record the lecture, or one-way streaming. As the semester evolves, some of those classrooms may need to be converted to two-way streaming or to one-way streaming. So this would give us the flexibility to adapt to what the faculty needs reveal themselves to be as the semester starts.
And this is for equipment and not necessarily connectivity?
That's correct. Trustee Pritchard, this is connectivity in terms of the core networking infrastructure is already in place. All of the work that DO-IT is involved with in partnership with the provost office and the colleges is in the form of hardware and some software to make all of this work.
And all of this equipment is in the classroom as opposed to faculty having personal access in their home?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Wozowicz.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. Sarah, this might be a question more for Provost Ingram, but just kind of curious, this is an unplanned, obviously, capital expenditure. So have we given any thought to how much we will be able to use this in the future? And how we may deploy this, because this, I mean, COVID has changed a lot of things, and but some of them might be some good changes for the future. So this may be an opportunity. Have we given any thought to how that might be used?
You know, I anticipate, at least into the spring, we will have a lot of online classes. So, you know, clearly this year the equipment is going to be deployed to help support how we teach during COVID. But it's also the case that this is equipment that will support our teaching needs well into the future, even once we have therapeutics or a vaccine. So I do imagine even in the pre-times, we would have students who would become ill, who could not participate in a class for a particular reason, or perhaps the weather prevented them from getting into class. Once the classrooms are equipped, this will allow students to participate remotely for other reasons other than quarantine or isolation. So I think it really expands how we serve students well into the future once we're past this immediate health concern.
I think I'd like to add a comment to build on, I think, the essence of Trustee Wozowicz's question. And that is, while we know we will not be in this stage of the pandemic forever, we will also probably never go back to quite the way it was before in terms of our students' and faculty's expectations for how material is delivered, what convenience they have to participate. Provost Ingram very correctly talked about other situations related to illness or convenience. I think convenience is going to be a big one. I think we think about the weather in Northern Illinois, the growing potential market for a place-bound adult who might be seeking a degree completion. And I think this technology positions us to continue to evolve what we can offer to meet the needs of our current students, our future students in the marketplace.
Thank you.
Trustee Butler.
Hi.
Forgive me, I started to blend in another board on sitting
on. I appreciated Dennis's question. That was going to be at one point my question about this item. But I guess what I'm looking for is a couple things. One, I want to ask if you could provide us all the sort of necessary assurance that this was procured within the proper guidelines. I know one of these individuals is an IPEC vendor, but I think I would assume that the other companies' services were procured under some sort of an emergency procurement action. If so, I would just like to hear that for the record. The other point that I want to make is just more of a governance point. I'm wondering if it's unusual for us to have this level of disclosure in a board item as to sort of how sort of the separate vendors would be broken down under an approval like this. I wonder if that's necessary for the board, just because this would put in motion, I would suspect, sort of conflict of interest process for the trustees, which wouldn't have to take place, I don't think, if we didn't know necessarily each and every of the companies. And I'm just wondering from a governance standpoint, whether we've judged that level of disclosure necessary. So it's a sort of a two-part question. One, can we get some assurances that all of this was procured under the sort of proper process? And second, just whether or not we need this level of detail in an item of this nature.
Sure, so let me take the questions in which they were posed, Trustee Butler. So in order to secure the necessary equipment in the timeline, we utilized existing contracts that we have with vendors, and we did utilize both emergency procurement flexibility as well as flexibility that was specifically granted to deal with COVID-19. So we used a multiple methods that are allowable and permittable by state procurement statutes. We listed the number of vendors, and we did reference some earlier documents where we had provided transparency around vendors that were utilized either to secure equipment or services, where we did list a number of them. We did that to provide transparency because we are utilizing multiple methods of procurement. As I referenced, either those existing contracts, existing relationships, or emergency procurement flexibilities, so that there was clarity as to who we would be utilizing to move forward in the short timeline. We elected to provide the information in the item. And as I said, this was consistent with some past documents that we had referenced in drafting this particular board item. I don't know if General Counsel Perry would want to add anything.
Nothing additional to that. The governor's question of the level of specificity, by law, the item needs to be specific and factual and have enough information for the committee to consider the recommendation and the vote. Beyond that, then that gets into a question amongst the trustees of what level of comfort that they need to see to know what had been considered, what the options were, and things that Trustee Butler has raised.
Okay.
Hey, Sarah and Brian, I just want you to, Trustee Gales got, he got removed from the meeting here, and so I have him on the phone, and we are trying to get, I'll get somebody with IT to help him out. Matt, if you could have somebody from IT reach out to Trustee Gales to help get him back in, that would be great.
Yes, will do.
Matt, how should we proceed? Are we going to take a pause until Committee Chair Gales resumes the call?
I actually have, Brian, I'll have to defer to you. I have Trustee Gales on the phone right now. He can listen in, but I'm not sure if that will make it very easy for him to get back on. So I don't know if we can go forward without him, or.
Could Vice Chair Wozwicz take the vote?
Yeah, I was going to say the vice chair can put the vote to the floor, to the board. I'm not sure of Trustee Gale's ability to communicate and listen over the phone, but just for optics, because Trustee Wozwicz is clearly in the meeting, he could call for the put the motion on the floor and take the vote.
Eric?
You're still muted, Eric.
There yes, you go. Do we have any other discussion? And I'm not seeing any, so we can call the question. I guess we would need a roll call vote on this, Brian, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Can we have a
roll call? Motion in a second. Wait,
I have a question. Is this to, because it says, the board item has 450. Is this to change it, to approve to change it to 600?
Yes. First, you need to change the agenda item from 450 to 600.
Okay. So, Brian, I think we need a motion then to change?
Yes, your motion is 600.
Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. Or, well, first of all, I need to hear a motion from someone, please.
So move, this is Dennis, to change it from 450 to $600,000.
Second, Reed.
Veronica. Oh, sorry.
Okay, we have a second from Trustee Herrero then.
No further discussion, you can now take a roll call.
Yes, if there's no further, first of all, does anybody have any further discussion that they'd like to talk about with this? Seeing and hearing none, then let's call the question. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Aidan Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozwicz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes, I'm back.
A voice from the heavens.
It appears the motion is passed.
Thank you. So at least we've concluded that vote. If we can go on to university reports.
Wait, you amended the amount, but you've not approved the actual item.
So now we need to vote on the amended action item.
You only approved the amount for 450 to 600. So now, Trustee Gales, you are to call the question of voting for the actual item for classroom upgrades.
What can we call that question? I already have a motion in place. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
No, so you need to make the motion to vote for the classroom upgrade.
I so move that we have the $600,000 appropriation on the table.
Is there a second?
Second, Barsima.
This requires a roll call vote.
Yes, sir.
I am muted. Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozwicz?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aidan Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes. So Brian, help me out now because I'm kind of coming in late. We've concluded this particular item.
Yes, you've amended the amount and you've now voted to approve the appropriation for the upgrades.
God bless you. God bless you. let us now move on to the university reports. Sarah?
Sure. Thank you, Committee Chair Gales, Vice Chair Wazowicz, and the entire committee. We're sorry for that change on the item, and I appreciate everyone's support and endorsement to amend the item and move it forward. Moving on to the university reports, today we have five reports coming to the committee. Consistent with past practice, write-ups have been provided in the materials. Since we have a few items that are only presented to the board annually, I'll provide a brief summary of each item. So moving forward with agenda item 9A, which is the quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of $100,000. This is a regular item on the committee agenda and summarizes transactions between $100,000 and $249,999 approved by university leadership between April 1st and June 30th, 2020. Note that the approvals span both purchases made in fiscal year 20, as well as purchases and projects that will go into and could span fiscal 21 as well. An acknowledgement and appreciation of the role all leaders have taken to move forward with only time-sensitive purchases. I will note that the activity represented in this report, 10 transactions for $1.3 million, is considerably less than this time last year, where there were 15 transactions for $2.8 million. So just as a point of reference and in support of the diligence and decision-making that's taking place across the university, I wanted to draw the committee's attention to that point.
Very good.
Before I move on, were there any questions about this item?
Hearing none, let's move on.
I have a question.
Hold on, maybe. Go ahead. I'm not sure who that is, but go ahead.
This is Bob Pritchard.
Okay.
Sarah, could you give us more amplification on the $130,000 for collection of COVID, expenses or purchases?
Sure. This was the number five that's listed, Trustee Pritchard?
Yes.
So our bursar's office works with different agencies to help us as we may need to work to get in contact to have past due accounts settled. So this is an open order that will allow us to work with a vendor partner to do that.
So my sensitivity is there's a lot of our businesses or are these students? And might the COVID have impacted their ability to make payment? And is this an appropriate pressure, if you will, in result of all the economic downturn that has occurred?
Yeah, that is a very good question. So where we would use these vendor partners are for accounts that are a significant number of years old. So it's not anything that would be recent. Within the past several months, these would be accounts that date back several years. I would also say that in response and in sensitivity to current events, that is being taken into account in our strategy, and we're working to adjust and be mindful, just given the economic pressures that people are facing, how we engage and reach out about these matters.
Chair Gales, I have a question as well.
Go ahead.
It's related to the question that we just heard from Trustee Pritchard. How successful are we, how successful have we been historically, at least, in collecting using the collection agencies?
So I don't have specific data to respond to your question, Trustee Herrera. I will say that the university does struggle and has a number of of past due accounts. This is an item that we've really worked hard to try to remedy how we work with students and we think about this item. It is a large outstanding item that the university has had challenges with dating back time that predates many of us here on the university side. So it's an item that the Bursar's office, finance, has worked very closely with our academic affairs office to try to understand what are the right strategies. I will say with some of the recent changes that were made this year in being more mindful of different flexibilities we can give, we've enacted a different billing cycle, a different assessment on how and when bills are processed, how and when late fees are assessed, how and when students are allowed to register if they have past due balances. We're hopeful that some of the changes that we've enacted in this year that makes things, I think, a little bit more student-friendly will actually help us as the students progress through their time here at NIU.
Right, because I was wondering what the value, what the return was, right, in this investment to have someone at the end of the process versus investing in, you know, earlier in the process so that students don't, you know, end up in the situation where they owe the university money. But it sounds like you're all thinking about that.
I think Provost Ingram may want to speak more to this, but she, along with President Freeman, Vice President Jensen, have worked very closely with the finance team to look at, to your point, how we could respond and work with students earlier in the process to get better outcomes.
I'll just agree with what Sarah's saying. I think we're spending a lot of time and thought on this particular issue.
So we have a question too from Trustee Wozowicz.
Yes, so I'm just kind of curious, Sarah, how do our collections compare to other schools in the area?
I would have to look into that. I wouldn't want to try to guess. I don't have any visibility into that just offhand.
All right, thank you.
Any more questions from our trustees? Can we move on to item 9B?
Sure, 9B, this is the annual report to the committee summarizing transactions reported to and or approved by the Board of Trustees throughout fiscal year 19, or I'm sorry, fiscal year 20. This includes those transactions that were referenced on the earlier report. Consistent with previous years, we see that the majority of our transactions, in this case over 95%, account for approximately a third of the spending activity. This is a relevant data point as we see that there's a significant amount of transactional activity representing a great deal of time and effort from individuals across campus. We also see from this data point that there is not a large amount of discretional spending that is occurring throughout the university. And this point is useful. It reinforces the importance for the university to resume our multi-year planning efforts in support of our multi-year goals.
Now, Sarah, this is one of those areas I think we talked about before, but if I could get more information on our MBE, WBE activity.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say absolutely, Trustee Gales. When you and I spoke about this, it was unfortunately a little too close for us to the meeting date to pull together the necessary information. But I think we have some opportunities to make visible this information throughout the year leading up to the report so that there's more transparency as to how the university is aligning with our BEP goals.
Thank you. Any more questions regarding this item? Hearing none, let's move on to the next item.
Okay, this is the fiscal year 20 annual report of cash and investments. This report is similar to the quarterly report that is presented to the committee. However, the information we're looking at today represents a summary of the annual cash and investment activity for the entire fiscal year. I'd like to draw a distinction, first of all, between the information this report illustrates, which is the university's access to cash, versus the budget discussion we had a bit earlier in the meeting. The budget establishes the revenue and spending plan for the year, and our cash and holdings, the report that we're looking at today, are the actual resources that support that plan. So in support of looking at the cash available to the university, I'll draw your attention to page 18 of the materials. This is the cash and investment holdings summary at June 30th. And it shows NIU's total holdings at $128.1 million, which is down approximately $47 million from this time last year. The difference is a result of three primary items. A planned spending down of the Build America bond proceeds, which totaled a little over $12 million. And these funds were used to renovate the Holmes Student Center. It's important to note that these funds could only be used for specific purposes. So, and one of those purposes was in support of capital projects. Additionally, another point was NIU spent more cash than what came into us. A portion of this again was planned as we embarked on a multi-year strategy to address a structural deficit. And when the prior year budget was approved, we had the board's endorsement to spend into our reserves, is how we refer to it. The third factor was the unexpected pressures on our cash flow stemming from the coronavirus pandemic. We heard Jenna Mitchell mention earlier the status of the state's ability to pay that fiscal year 20 appropriation. And this was really where we saw one of the more significant pressures was how we realized the receipt of appropriation payments from the state. We were fortunate that the state paid about $7 to $10 million a month, whether it be in support of our appropriation or our monetary award program, those MAC grants. And that helped us sustain a reasonable amount of cash flow through the summer. At the end of the summer, at the end of the fiscal year, the remaining unpaid state appropriation was approximately $15.8 million. So this not receiving this $15.8 million contributed to why we're seeing this $47 million loss. As Jenna reported earlier, we have in fact received that full appropriation. So that will help us and be reported in next year's and in next quarter's cash forecast. Similar to the budget discussion, there are four primary items that will also have significant, could have significant upside or downside to NIU's cash position. Those are the same four items: enrollment, the state's financial position, the availability of a federal relief bill, and that impact of public health guidance on our ability to resume our full campus operations. Consistent with budget planning, as we move forward with cash forecasting, we're going to continue to do the appropriate level of contingency planning, focused again on those factors that NIU can control or influence. And a big part of that strategy is moving forward only those items that are mission critical or time sensitive, and that will help us preserve NIU's cash position.
As I mentioned earlier, we've got our hands full, so and we've got a good team, though, so I have great confidence in you all. I'm not expecting you to do magic, but I do have great confidence. Any questions? Hearing none, can we move on to item 9D?
Sure. The fiscal year 20 report on tuition and fee waivers. This is an annual report presented to the board before we submit this information to the IBHE. This report summarizes tuition and fee waiver activity. Our waivers fall into two different categories, those required by the state and those that NIU make available, those waivers that NIU make available. Consistent with practices at other universities, Waivers are used to recruit and retain students, as well as in some cases employees, and they support certain employee benefits. So a summary of those activities is coming across the screen now. It's just a report on information to make visible before this goes to a wider audience.
Okay. Again, any questions? Hearing none, let's move to the last item on the list, 9E.
All right. This is a campus facility project update. This final report was included today to provide a narrative update on major facility projects. As discussed throughout the day, both the state of Illinois and NIU have made decisions to preserve financial flexibility. These decisions have impacted the timing of planned facilities activities on our campus. And a summary of notable projects, including the current status of the project, are included on pages 22 to 24 of your materials. You'll note that there were, in some cases, projects that have been paused. I want to note that decisions to pause planned work were decisions that weren't made lightly. However, as we assessed how best to move forward, we did have some opportunities to pause work before they started. Some of these items were within our control and decisions that we controlled. Others are projects that we're working on with other entities, and their availability to cash and resources impacted our timeline and how we proceed. Despite the events of the last several months, I do want to note that Northern has made progress on many notable initiatives. Particularly, I would like to highlight the completion of the Founders Memorial Library Burma Art Collection compact storage, as well as the almost completed remodel of the Barsima Hall Creativity and Empathy Lab. So we do have some successes to celebrate that have occurred over the last several months.
Sarah, can you give us a little information on the, and I think I've read it in the text, forgive me, but the boiler project that we had going? I know we froze it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'll actually look to John Heckman, who can talk to where that is in real time. Before I hand it over, that is one of the items that we were considering pausing because NIU does have a cash component, a partnership match to that. I think John and his team are working hand in hand with the Capital Development Board and walking that fine line of moving the project forward because it is an important project for our campus, while also giving us the flexibility that should we need to, we could access the funds. But I'll let John explain it in a bit more detail.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Sarah. Just to elaborate a little bit more, we are working very closely with the Capital Development Board on this project. It is one of two projects that the Capital Development Board actually has state funding to move forward with. But part of that funding for the project, as Sarah explained, comes from NIU itself. And to manage our cash position, we're strategically kind of stalling the project a little bit before too much commitment is made. But still trying to keep the project moving forward. We're at the stage right now of just being ready to ask for contractors to submit proposals. We've gone through preliminary selection processes and have narrowed down some slates, but we're pausing at the point to have contractors commit their efforts to actually put together a cost proposal, and that's the next stage we would move into. So a very important project. You've heard me preaching about the need for boiler improvements for years now. And so it's a very tough decision to not move forward with this, but very understandable knowing that we have to manage our cash position.
Does that affect our ability to use that facility as we look towards the fall?
Well, you may notice in other areas of this report, there's still quite a bit of money going into our existing boilers. And that's a consequence. So we're making sure that our existing boilers can still remain functional for, I'm anticipating, the next two winters that we'll have to continue to operate. And that's a consequence from this. Not moving forward fast enough on the state project means we're going to have to continue to invest money in our antiquated boiler infrastructure and keep it running.
Okay. Okay. I see Trustee Barsima has a question.
Yes, thank you. To get back to the cash real quickly, since John kind of gave me a good segue there. So we're at approximately $128 million as of the date of this report. And I'm sorry if you said this and I missed it, but give me your context, Sarah, on where we're at in terms of the level of cash, and is that where we should be? Is that lower than where we should be? Is it about where you thought we were going to be? What's your general sense on our cash level right now, you know, in terms of green, yellow, red?
So that's an interesting question, Dennis, and I'll try to answer it succinctly. So at this time last year, when we were embarking on our multi-year planning, we knew our cash would be down. We did not anticipate, nor did anybody, that we would be down to the level that we are today because of the global pandemic. Where we are today, I would put us in a yellow status. We are in a place where we still have an element, a small amount of financial flexibility to support our operations, but we don't have a lot. And we have the ability, should we continue to make smart and thoughtful decisions, provided we get the support that we anticipate from the state, in addition to a federal relief bill, that the health and safety guidance allows our campus to move to resuming normal operations. And we continue to be prudent. We can transition from maybe a lower yellow to a higher yellow and get an element of stability back. But we are in a position where we must be very mindful and intentional. We are lower in our reserves than I think we would all like, but we are not yet at a critical place, and it's prudent that we continue to be very thoughtful with our resources and allow ourselves flexibility going into this upcoming year when there is still much that is uncertain.
Thank you.
Trustees, any other questions? Hearing none, are there any other matters to come before this committee? Let me state that the next meeting date for us is, for this committee at least, is November 12th, 2020. Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I want to say thank you to Sarah and her team for, you know, the work that they do to help prepare me and to prepare Trustee Wozowicz for our FACPO meetings. And I'm sure the work that they do as well for the 2x2s that they share for the other trustees. You guys are doing a great job, and that's just not fluff. I'm not just saying that to you to make you feel good today. These are very trying times, and I do appreciate the effort of you and your team, as well as President Freeman and the rest of the executive team. You guys are doing a great job. With that, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Herrero.
Is there a second?
Second. So moved, Barsima.
This requires a roll call vote.
Yes, sir.
Trustee Rita Athes.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozowicz.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields.
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Yes. Well, this concludes our FACPO meeting for today, and I look forward to seeing you all, at least from the committee standpoint, in November.